You're listening to The Liquidiser on community radio in the western suburbs of Adelaide and radioactiveinternational.org. We're doing our punk special tonight, and big love going out to Rufus in Galway, to Dave from Video Graveyard, who is down the road in Rosewater, to Plumey listening in Old London Town. If you're listening on the FM dial in real time, or if you're listening in the future or on the internets, then let us know that you're out there by joining the Liquidiser Facebook group.
And you heard Newtown by The Slits, and what was after that? Don't Dictate by Penetration.
And we're talking all things punk, and we're talking about things that have inspired us as punks over the years, with Annie and Britt from the Girls Radio Offensive. And so what other sorts of stuff are you involved in over in Melbourne, in terms of, like, you know, I know I've been to the Hot Shots venue, for instance, so tell us a bit more about that.
Hot Shots is I guess it's a DIY space. It's a bit unclear exactly what it is. It was a squatted warehouse venue. Initially, people lived there, and then later down the track, there was a rental agreement made with the owner, and then eventually there was council issues and people moved out. But I guess since the beginning, people have had visions for it being some sort of a community space, but inevitably it's been predominantly, I would say, a punk venue, and had... So shows, all the shows are benefit shows. But then over time, like, trying to do different things, I guess there's been monthly Skillshare days for a long time, doing different, sharing of information. People do screen printing there. There's a jam space, so people can come in and use the space for different things. There are different kinds of shows and different events that happen there. Yeah, there's a library that started upstairs in the last year and a half. And there was also, there's Thursday Night Cafes for ages. We did that weekly. And then, you know, a little bit less often. Or sometimes people have done talks and... Yeah, a variety of things.
I went to the Transformative Justice and Abolitionist group launch there when I was over there last time, which was an amazing event. Our friend Carl, who is on the Liquidiser crew, choral workshop, I think he went to there, and he's a regular frequenter. And it's brilliant to have that sort of community space. We've got Animal House here, of course, does incredible gigs. It's just that little bit out of town, so it's a bit more difficult to get to as a community space, probably, but getting that sort of thing up and running would be pretty amazing.
Mad Mouse Alley was the last really good stab at it that we had in Adelaide, and that was a fantastic little venue, doing all sorts of things, interesting things.
They'd even put, like, fringe shows on and have those sorts
cinema
of meetings.
Evenings, like they had a documentary evening, you know.
Yeah, they had the movie nights. Because we've tried to do a bunch of different things, and it's always been an interesting challenge, like not wanting to live in a bubble and not wanting to just have the same people coming to things, and yet also the reality of, like, your time and energy. Like, so often it's been not that many of us trying to run the space, and we've always been like, anyone can come and do things here and put things on here. But obviously, if you don't know the people who organize things, firstly, you don't necessarily know that exists, but secondly, you probably don't feel that confident to just come and be like, I want to do something here. And I guess, you know, more recently, we have had more different people from the community coming in, and then I think having to face, like, a lot of issues with people's perhaps different priorities, different ways of relating to each other, even things like different ways of booking spaces, different ways of communicating, you know, and trying to deal with the kind of conflicts or issues and tensions that arise that exist in the rest of the world too. But if you actually want to have a space that's accessible from a broad range of people from the community, I think people, like, we need to also engage with the fact that, like, you're not always going to feel comfortable in that space, and you're going to have to kind of question yourself, or there's just a lot of different things that come up. And I suppose because Hot Shots was a squatted space and now rented, and eventually probably next year it's going to be knocked down and turned into multi-story apartment buildings, it takes such a long time for people to hear about things and start feeling confident to come. So it's a little bit, you know, it's one of these things like not owning a place yourself or something. It takes such a long time to build up that sort of vibe that, you know, and then I guess it gets literally demolished and then you kind of have to...
build it all again. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, thank goodness we do keep building it all again, which is a really good segue into DIY from Oi Polloi. One of the greatest DIY bands ever, who used to give away vegan apple pies during their gigs.
Anarcho pie.
Yeah. So you'd
and
go
I still haven't forgiven. Should I name and shame them? Substandard from Nottingham, who ate all the anarcho pie.
How dare he? That's not very anarcho of him at all, is it? Deke was very good at
shame
baking.
Shame on you, substandard.
Oh, bless. So, yeah, we were talking about that. So that's one of the highlights of DIY
because we were just talking, actually, while that was playing, about dealing with
is that you have in dealing with those when you're trying to build a community that works together. So I was we've been talking about the sorts of things that you've worked out with the Hot Shots and such as Live Festival. So how do you deal with those sorts of situations?
No, sorry.
I guess a bunch of us who were involved in Hot Shots and then also in Such Is Life have over the years thought a lot about, like, dealing with conflict and also with violence and abuse, particularly that happens within even small social bubbles, without the police and the legal system, and believing that that is, like, if you are ever going to put a circle A on your face or something, that that is actually one of the number one things that you need to be able to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess many of us are in it's interesting, I think many of us, I think, are in situations where there's no possible way you can pretend that, you know, that even the community norms are that people are safe or something like that.
I guess, like, a basic belief of us is that, you know, if I talk of, like, safe spaces, we don't really believe that any space that is open to everyone, or at least pretends to be, is safe.
Yeah, and even...
Absolutely.
And in fact, sometimes they're less safe.
Yeah. Yeah, and even beyond that,
though.
Because
you have your guard down. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I think that this sort of idea that just because somebody believes something, like, in theory, doesn't mean that we have, you know, unlearned every kind of thing that you've grown up with in the world. The reasons why violence happens or conflict happens are actually really, really complicated. And just pretending that those things don't exist, either, like, often, for example, whitewashes conflict, like, you know, certain forms of conflict resolution or communication are prioritized often according to race and class as opposed to others. And then in terms of violence, there's an idea that if, you know, men say that they are anti-sexist, that they are not going to sexually assault people, or that sexual assault and sexual violence doesn't happen, or domestic violence doesn't happen within queer relationships or things like that. And we just know that to be completely untrue. And so over time, I think, you know, just by necessity, certain people have often been called on to deal with this, to either listen to people when they're crying or talk to people about situations. And frequently in spaces like parties or social spaces, where a whole lot of people go, be they pre-existing friends or random people that don't know each other, you will either get things that happen within that space, like, you know, someone gropes somebody else, or somebody says something racist to somebody else or something like that, either intentionally or unintentionally, you know, that requires some sort of response. Or also, a lot of the time, I think, actually, at Hotshots, when you do have the same people coming there over and over and over again from a particular social circle or social scene, pre-existing things, so people who've been in a relationship where there's been violence and then they are suddenly all at the same place and you're going to have to deal with that. And so trying to develop different ways in the past and also in these spaces to prioritise survivors of violence, firstly, and then also just to actually respond to things. So, for example, in Hotshots, we always have two people who are sober and on, I guess, a shift of being responsible at any time. And we put signs up saying if anything happens within the space or you needed something to be responded to, please come and talk to us. But we want this space to be open to everybody. But at the same time, we don't want behaviour that makes other people feel shit, especially based on prejudice, like race, class, gender, ability, sexuality, many more things. And then I suppose we did a similar thing at Such Is Life. And obviously it's not perfect and there's heaps of different ways to deal with things. There's a lot of things that we don't hear about until much later. But, you know, interestingly, I guess particularly this year, what we've found is, as Hotshots Collective, we've spent so much time actually like running interventions and addressing people's use of violence in or outside of the space, but people who are somehow associated or use the space. And often because there's not visible other people doing that kind of stuff. And in this community, despite what people say, like I hate sexism or something, often the available people to actually do the work of trying to think about why this stuff happens and challenge it isn't there. And so we've definitely noticed that this year in particular, because we've sort of put ourselves out there as like, we want to deal with this kind of thing and we're not perfect and heaps of people wouldn't trust us and heaps of bad things still go on. Like, I don't want to pretend that it's not, you know.
And we make mistakes and we fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the amount of people who've come and asked for support or assistance in different ways or come forward, and the amount of things people are kind of taking on in terms of, for example, talking to people who've used violence over a long period of time, kind of shows the gap like that, because Hotchkiss is a space where people end up at, people are like, well, someone has to deal with this, someone needs to do something about this. And I think it is really interesting to look at what that actually shows about what isn't being addressed in these communities, particularly ones that like to define themselves by political identities. But then, you know, a lot of people don't, like, you know, a lot of people in the space don't have shared values. They don't necessarily have shared ideas. They just assume that they do, or they assume that they've dealt with a lot of their own prejudices and assumptions, but they actually haven't. And so, yeah, trying to develop different ways of responding to conflict through talking and through trying to be humble and acknowledge things about ourselves is a constant journey. But
I think it's an incredible development in sort of naming it as an issue and trying to address it and deal with it the best way that you know how. And I think that I've in discussions I've had reflecting on the stuff that we used to do in the 90s, some of the most anarcho collective venues and spaces were also some of the spaces where I saw and experienced enormous sexism and offensive behavior. So I think that that's a really encouraging development.
And I was just going to say, so there's a dyed-in-the-wool old anarchist who has been arguing for, you know, that it's not some kind of pie in the sky thing that has no relevance, because people will just run riot and people will just do, you know, everybody will come and steal things and everybody will be killing each other and blah 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 blah. But you're trying to, I've tried to explain a million times to people over the years, is that no, actually what you actually end up having is people reflecting and changing their behavior because the community, everybody in the community becomes the person who's responsible for enforcing or reinforcing good behaviours and positive behaviours. And you can't stand there and say someone's being a problem, who's going to do something about this? Because the person who's got to do something about it is you, as part of the community that has decided that that behaviour is unacceptable. So if that made any sense at all, what I'm saying is, and well done, really, because it's exactly what I've been saying, like trying to get people to listen to for years, that that's the way it should work and that's the way it can work.
I think it's also a really interesting thing in terms of trying to, you know, people kind of have used this term in the last decade or two decades of like the personal is political. But I was reading a book the other day, a really good book called The Revolution Starts at Home, which is by Insight Women of Colour Against Violence. Oh, no, it's not actually. It's by different people, some of whom are related to that organisation, but some are totally not. But it's out of the United States, and it talks about a lot of ways that women of colour movements in the USA really developed these ideas of transformative justice and community accountability because of persecution by the police, the colonial state, all these sorts of things. And that, you know, the legal system is actually violent in itself. But yeah, I guess these ideas have influenced other communities who, for various reasons, believe that the police shouldn't be relied on or the legal system is violent in itself. But also that communities that define themselves as political, yeah, in the book it said the political is personal. And I guess that was the sort of interesting reframing of that statement that I found really relevant, because I was thinking, you know, a lot of the time we talk about big politics and we talk about colonization, we talk about like white supremacy or talk about patriarchy and cissexism, all these sorts of things. But it's very easy to think about those in a very theoretical context that doesn't seem possible, realistic, hopeful at all. Whereas, you know, in our daily lives, if we think that we are products of the system, products of a society, then we need to start addressing that and sort of being like, okay, well, how can we be products of something else and how can we change ourselves? Because personally, one of the things that's been the most disappointing is starting to believe that the people around me are not capable of changing, or that I'm not capable of changing. And I don't know how I could continue over my life to do different kinds of political projects if I think that I can't change my behavior, or if I think that if I've made a mistake or done something shit, that that's like the end, you know, or the same for the people around us, like that actually, like if I believe in this kind of politics, I need to make it personal because I need to make it real in some way as well, which doesn't mean only focus on your friends, but like not to have that separation or something.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be going on to talk in a bit about how we kind of the different projects and how we the different activism that you're involved in as well. So let's play some tunes and we'll come back.
Stage, it's taken for a wage. The critics think he's great, but the laughter turns to hate. take my life, their problems and the faces of content. They hide them till it kills them, and no one exists, and not even you.
So before that, you heard Mickey Mouse is Dead by the Subhumans, When by Steve Ignorant and Paranoid Visions, and before that, Diploid with When Will It End? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Yay!
Yep. Yay!
I remembered something. That's great.
We've been talking about DIY, we've been talking about political activism, we've been talking about women in punk. It's been a roller coaster of a journey. I've put the book that Annie was talking about on the a link to that on the Facebook group, The Liquidizer on WOW FM. And if you want to link in to the Girls Radio Offensive show on 3CR, then check them out on Facebook as well. So we were talking about some of the projects that we have been involved in over the years, and I was interested in the Undercurrent project that you're doing in Melbourne.
Yeah, so I guess related to some of that stuff, there was a group that existed in Sydney called Thunder Collective, which used to do community response to sexual assault, and that came out of the punk community in Sydney. And then there was another group in Melbourne called A World Without Sexual Assault that did sort of similar things, community response, some things at parties, but also a lot of workshops and interventions to also recognise that actually like a lot of the cultural norms in our communities around violence, particularly violence against women, but you know, sexual violence and family violence in general are actually a lot of myths and a lot of the same attitudes that exist in the rest of society, regardless of what people say. And it really made like responding to situations quite difficult because people would respond with the same sort of victim blaming attitudes, minimizing or justifying violence people would use, stuff like that. And then after World Without ended, some of us I guess had developed our ideas through the punk and DIY community, started a different project called Undercurrent, where we do workshops in high schools, TAFEs, universities, and with different community groups in alternative education settings, and now with teachers as well, about family violence, sexual assault, but respectful relationships. And we do a lot of sex education workshops, talk about consent, how to support each other, so we do sort of professional development with teachers and youth workers and stuff about like ways to involve young people in these kind of conversations in a way that doesn't replicate the same sort of myths. So particularly taking a non-judgmental approach to people's attitudes, say they say problematic opinions, trying not to be like, well, you think that because you're an idiot. Instead going, yeah, actually a lot of people think what you think, but why do we think that? And what kind of impact is that attitude going to have? Partly we did it because it was much easier actually to talk to people who didn't know than to talk to our own community members who tended to be much more resistant to these kinds of conversations, which I think is interesting and still true. But now we've started to do more things in our community again. And so we're doing a series of public workshops at the end of this year. There's like a 7-part public workshop about myths around violence, what is violence, violence in queer communities, like LGBTIQ plus communities, and relationships and families, and also to talk about supporting survivors, accountability, like how to work with people who've caused harm towards change, and community accountability, like how to change our actual communities, because our communities are also responsible for this violence sort of happening. So that's
what
that is.
It's a really it's a really good example of how DIY and anarcho values kind of translate from your punk involvement into the stuff that you're doing in communities and educating people outside of the scene as well, and changing attitudes and beginning those conversations. It's interesting how a lot of those types of activities do come out of the DIY scene and do start to get into sort of mainstream activity, like the abolitionist and transformative justice stuff that I've been involved in too. So I think that's again an encouraging story. Now later on to after tonight's show, in about half an hour, we've got a brand new show here on where Amy's coming to do a brand new punk show where she's going to talk about LGBTIQA plus issues and play lots of queer punk. That's going to be a brilliant show starting at 10 o'clock tonight. So stay on for that.
It's called Mind Your P's and Q's. And Amy is out. We can assure you Amy is in the other room now, limbering up and getting ready for her debut on WOW FM. Bled Dry by Tactical Attack. I'm going to chuck that one out to Wayno in the other room there because I know he would have enjoyed that. Good on you, Wayne.
I like that a lot. I need to go see them.
And before that, of course, Flux of Pink Indians, Tube Disasters.
So we've been doing a punk show tonight. Now, Britt's here from Melbourne, but you actually grew up in Adelaide.
I did. Well, I grew up a little bit north of Adelaide in Gawler, actually. But lived here for a while and started going to shows in Adelaide when I was about 15.
And so your introduction to the punk scene was in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess when I was younger, like Gawler had more of a metalcore kind of scene and we sort of started going out to Adelaide. I started going to hardcore shows, but that wasn't very satisfying for me. I guess I found that particular scene pretty misogynistic and sexist and thankfully, I started to meet some punks, DIY punks, and that's how I started going to punk shows through connections I made at university and eventually started.
Any gig highlights from that time in Adelaide, like in terms of the venues or the bands or anything?
I guess something that really, generator shows or what we called alleyway shows at that time in Adelaide. So I started to meet people who were taking generators or finding public electricity outlets and putting on shows in car parks or alleyways or abandoned buildings. I guess discovering that and figuring out how to start doing that for myself would have been like the first highlights of DIY punk.
Yeah. And so how does it compare to what you're doing now in Melbourne?
We've taken those skills and we continue to do that kind of stuff. Like Hotshot started as a squatted venue. And I guess we started doing that, figuring out how to get electricity in different ways, and we still put on alleyway shows now. There are definitely different crew who do, and we have a bunch of shit for that, like generators, lighting, that kind of thing.
So we're going to play some highlights from Melbourne bands that you've brought along with us.
Yes.
So who are we going to hear?
This next band is called Pest. So these are some mates from Melbourne. What song should we play? Maybe Problem. It's good.
No, I don't.
Amoebics, Battery Humans, and before that, Pest with...
Problem.
Thank you.
Just need to give a shout out to Jorge, who's listening in Semaphore, to a brand new listener.
Good on you, comrade Jorge.
Brand new listener Roxy is listening, so thank you for
Roxy.
Joining us.
Hi, Roxy. Hey girl.
And we'll also give a special shout to Emma from Radio's Trash and Treasure, because she was identifying with the whole Gawler experience. She grew up in Gawler as well. Mm-hmm. So we've been joined tonight by Annie and Britt from Girls Radio Offensive, the show on 3CR in Melbourne. We've been like cross-pollination of community radio shows and talking all things punk. It's been such fun. It's been great, like, meeting you properly. Like, it seems like we've been in a lot of the same places and we've never actually got to catch up properly. So it's been lovely having you in the studio. Hopefully we'll be able to come and visit you at 3CR and Hot Shots when we're in Melbourne next time as well.
Absolutely. You should totally come on our show as a guest next time.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go to 3CR. So that's really, as a community radio nerd, that's a great thing for me. We will also be reposting this show on radioactiveinternational.org, and we'll put a link to that on our Facebook page, and you can share it on your different media that you use too. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been really great.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah.
So what are you going to play us out with?
We are going to play a band that is from both Sydney and Melbourne. They're called Threskiones. This track is called Land Stolen.
And we'll be coming back afterwards to fill you on some other stuff. Thank you.
that was Thescionis, which is the Latin name for an ibis, apparently, with land stolen. That was wicked. I like that.
Now, if you like, obviously we've been playing lots of punk music tonight. Usually we mix it up. We're going to be, and we like to play a lot of reggae, and we like to play a lot of soul and funk on the show as well, usually. If you are in town on Saturday, we've got a very special night of vinyl, of a reggae, got soul. We're going to be playing all sorts of tunes from 7 till 2 a.m. or till when we drop. And it's at the Brick City Bar, and it's free in, and it's also my birthday celebration, so come and party down. Also, we're not going to be here for the next 2 weeks because we're going on a big road trip up to Uluru and back.
I thought you said Wallaroo. I've got to make that joke every time.
But in our place, don't fear, because in our place, Alison will be standing in for us and doing a very special Northern Soul show, 8 till 10.
Soul sandwich, in fact.
Every Tuesday night while we're away. So that's for 2 weeks. And then we'll be back at the beginning of August with our usual news-based format, The Liquidizer.
And talking of things Northern Soul, those of you who know us and listen to us regularly know that we spend quite an inordinate amount of time on the Northern Soul scene around this country. And we were very, very sad to hear the passing of Chris Evans, who passed away suddenly yesterday, a central figure on the Adelaide and National Soul scene, who will be sadly missed. And our condolences to his wife, Kate.
And family. And an absolutely top bloke, lovely bloke, the best dance moves on the dance floor. It just won't be the same without you.
So we'll leave you as a little tribute to Chris. This is the 3 Before 8. Amy's up after this. Good night, folks.
Good night.
fingers, quickly moving feet. I'm just a pebble on the beach, and I sit and wonder why little people are running around, never knowing why. Oh, life is just a precious minute, baby. Open up your eyes and see it, baby. Give yourself a better chance, because time will pass you right on by. Time is gonna pass you by so quickly, and it won't go nowhere. This big old world is spinning like a top. Come and help me while we make it stop. All you have to do is live for now. Come along with me and I'll show you how. Take my hand, I'll show you how to live. Why wait until tomorrow? Take my hand and I'll lead the way to a brighter day.
Tonight with you, for the first time, I have learned what my lips are for. And darling, now that I've kissed you, I am craving to kiss you more. Let me tell you, long after tonight is all over. When I hold you, I can feel that the world is mine. Don't go away, don't you leave me, or I'll cry till the end of time. Let me tell you, long after tonight is over. Let me tell you.